Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
There's one chip and only one chip for the guacamole. That's that Cantina Gold, thick in the yellow bag.
Mm-hmm. It's Mike Shope.
No thin crisp, no scoops. Get out of here with hint of lime. Horrendous choice.
And the Bulldog.
The lime is just too much lime. There's lime in the guacamole. Any more lime is too much lime. You're crossing the lime. You've crossed the lime. If you're using hint of lime in the guacamole with the lime, you've crossed the lime.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog on WGR Sports Radio 550.
Man, did I push that. It's one thing about radio. When you're in a room at a party and you say something you think is funny, you get immediate feedback. And you find out, assuming people are listening to you, which is not a given, you know, you get that feedback right away. But in here, if Bulldog doesn't laugh, and he's not going to today because he's off all week, then what? I had to keep pushing it. I got into radio. This is actually a thing you didn't care about, believe it or not. Like, unlike most things I say. But I was writing for a newspaper, and I thought, I'd like to get more immediate feedback. As in, if I say something controversial, then I know people will, like, call in right away, flood the phone lines, if you will, and push back on it. Like, oh, now I'm living. But it's 25 years ago. More, actually. Has the show ever sounded older? What a start. I'm Mike Shope, and it's exciting to be back. Every time I take time off, I was last here on July 2nd, so that's 11 days ago. There's two things that always happen. One is I feel really good preparation-wise with so many things that have come up, that have happened to me, that I can fill 4 hours with. If it even needs to be 4 hours, I can fill 4 hours with and not really stress over it. By Thursday, if not sooner, we're talking now, that might be different. It's the middle of July. This is the 3 days, if not four now, on the sports calendar when they say, like, nothing happens. Home Run Derby has filled that void. Of course, World Cup, which, yikes, is going to be in the middle of, it's going to be right in our show Tuesday and Wednesday, tomorrow and Wednesday. We'll talk about that later because I have to tell you my dilemma. Thursday, there's one baseball game. We've been, quote, blessed this year, if you're into World Cup at all, because that is that we had the Sabres for a month and we have that for a month and then it's going to end and we have Bills camp. You know, it's something. It's not really that interesting, I think, but at least it's football happening, new stadium, all of that by 2 weeks from today. So that's exciting. But this is sort of like the lull, if you will, on the sports calendar. So there's two things that always happen when I take time off. One is, I've got ideas, and that'll be put to the test today. Here I am sort of touting it. The other is there are seven different things in this room that have changed. In a room that never does anything change. These bobbleheads, whatever that thing is, whatever this is, Advantage viewers, that's one thing that's different. The Saber signs are still up. My headphones are still broken. The last day I was here, I had to tape them. And then I went on vacation and completely didn't think about it at all. And then like 20 minutes ago, I'm like, oh yeah, hopefully they work. So we've got, I'm flaunting it. You can see the tape. I'm not even zoom in on that tape. This is a top level operation. If I could turn them around, but if you've ever worn headphones on the opposite ears, you know, you can't. It's just wrong. One thing that, you know, and Joe always with maximizing the call screener app on the monitor, which is a heinous act. You've always got to reduce that and center it and make it perfect. He's got a fan in here. It's kind of a running thing on this show. Maybe it's different, but the fan says different, says otherwise, that it's been too hot in here for like a month and a half. Here's a fan. I come in, Brad and Tim are leaving. Like, what's that? Like, dude, it's a fan. You have to know what that is. Like, well, I'm turning it off. Well, why would you turn it off? Two reasons. One, I don't have anything to complain about if it works. I don't want to hear that whirring sound from the fan either. And two, I've been roasting at a lacrosse tournament for 3 days, And I want to sort of feel like this is sort of normal. I think I've adjusted to high-level temperatures. I've got this, I should be more diligent with preparation, sunscreen, water, these things, but I'm really not. I've got, red. I wore a shirt all weekend at this thing. I'm not going to be that guy, right? Especially not me. I'm not going to be the dad walking around shirtless, tarps off at a lacrosse tournament with your kids on the field. I'll let him be that guy. No. So I've got the shirt, I've got the lines, and I've got red all around my neck and face. And then I've got this is new. I've got this spot. Can you see it? I've got a new little, is it a bald spot? Yeah, you're nodding in there. Yes, it is. Now you're sort of equivocating. I've got a little red, wear the visor. That helps me with the nose and the cheekbones and the forehead. But I've got this red dot, like I'm Jupiter. I've got this red dot up here that I'm not proud of. But, if I live long enough, if I'm lucky, the hair is going to go away. And I'll have more red dots you can enjoy on the stream, on the Twitch and YouTube in the coming years. Hockey is still the top subject. That didn't change. We've got a fan. We've got this. Certain things are different, but we're still talking about hockey. And I get it. My catching up period in part was this morning listening. And they've got, how many guys are on that show now? Four? That's it? Jeremy, Joe, other Joe. You don't know which one I called the other Joe, by the way. One of them I'm related to, and Owen. And, it's just like a big party in there. They've got graphics. The helimeter is a thing. Was there actually a graphic? Who do I have to talk to? Okay, well, we can have that conversation later. But they've got a helimeter. I was listening and I was riveted. And I will just say, I still think what I've thought for a month. How do you know these things? You can try to decide for yourself. Well, the Sabres had a great year. And was their goaltending a big part of the story? Of course. Did it get them beat? Not necessarily. There are different ways of analyzing that. And really, in terms of the analytics stuff, their goaltending wasn't so subpar that someone has to feel like that was their Achilles heel. But I think to most, the chair still squeaks. That's another thing that hasn't changed. To most fans, and maybe even like independent hockey observers around the continent, as haughty as that sounds, that goaltending killed them. How did the playoffs end? I'll not soon forget game 5 from being in the arena and the Sabres having leads of 1-0, 2-1, and 3-2 and just could not. They got good breaks on their first period goals, and then they lost 6-3. Just gross. And that was Luukkonen. Then Lyon played the third. Might have given up one in the third, but it was a Luukkonen loss after coming out of Montreal. Game 6 is Lyon starts the game. He gives up 3 goals on 3 shots. They later changed it to 4 shots. I feel like that was a mercy move, so that he didn't go out on 3-on-3. What happens after that? The Sabres score 7 straight goals. Incredible. Wouldn't you love, isn't this sort of a tough thing about sports? Like, it's more of a hockey thing, but even in football. When your team, this is, for the Bills, this is the game against New England in the playoffs. What, 5 years ago now? Where you just have the ultimate fan experience with pride for your team. That Bills example, they score on every drive. They absolutely crush a Bill Belichick-led Patriots team. It's cathartic. It all comes out, and it's 0 degrees, and it's Ryan Fitzpatrick, and you're having the time of your life. The next week is 13 seconds. What do you do with that New England game? You can offer it into conversations about the best times you've ever had, but it's, to say the least, it's muted. It's almost quashed by the fact that the next week you have the most heartbreaking loss almost in their history. Maybe it is. So what do you do with 13 seconds? What do you do with seven straight goals in game six in Montreal in the second round? Honestly, nothing. What can you do with that? Then game seven, you're down, you catch up, and then that new hook goal from the bench. Just so, if I didn't say it, about a month ago, trying to figure out how to read the cards through the insiders, that's kind of the best you can do anymore. The only people that teams say anything to are these half dozen or so supposed insiders. You got to kind of go with it. And there was enough Sabres and Hellebuck for me to think the Sabres wanted him. Whether they would get him or not, that wasn't going to be clear. But it was important to me trying to figure out the Sabres' plans that they were always being, or usually, being tied to him. Like, why would you bother? Montreal. There's nobody mentioning Montreal for Hellebuck, and they're not all set in goal. They get to the conference finals, they get crushed. They up their guy, Dobish, after that, and he's probably, well, I can't say like I really know. He might not be the best goalie they have, but they paid him, and they're going to do their thing. They were not a team where anybody would have ever pointed to goaltending. They beat Tampa in seven, and then Buffalo in seven on the road. They got there. And then Carolina, which would win the cup, too good. All right. Well, we're all set. We don't need to. It's really cool when a team does sort of shun that kind of, thinking and go ahead and do something else. But Montreal was never going to be that team. And there are better examples. Most of the NHL would never have been mentioned for Hellebuck at all. Not us. And the Sabres seemed a willing participant. There were reports, there was speculation about the fourth pick and the eighth pick, and all kinds of different versions of that the Sabres are interested in this player, but only at their price, which is fine. That's how it should be. What about Winnipeg? Every day leading into the draft, one of those 6 or 10 people who get told information were there with, Winnipeg would do this, New Jersey, Florida, Buffalo, they would do this. Why are they reporting that? If anybody from Winnipeg, like a superior in Winnipeg, told them no, that would be it. And they would be like, they're not trading him. That didn't happen. I have thought the whole time that Winnipeg, this is just from out here, I'm just trying to read the cards and make my best guess. So just so you know, that Winnipeg feels a certain burden to get Hellebuck out of Winnipeg. I think it looks like they feel like he's done there. And then it's a chess game. Then it's you're going back and forth. And it's been said last week when Bulldog was here, it's been said a lot before July 1st and since. Greg Wyshynski, was that last Monday? He was on with Chris, and he's like, look, none of the big moves has really happened yet. So it might not be a typical July in hockey where everybody is at their proverbial cottages. Do they all hang out at the same place? I've been up to, Muskoka, each of the last two summers. And I wanted, if I had not been there, I would say, aren't they all sort of neighbors for the next 6 weeks? Like, are they all on the same lake with the same pontoon boats and everything else? But it's way too big for it to be like that. So probably not. You can find some beautiful, really private, secluded areas up there within like a 3-hour drive from where I'm sitting. Anyway, he said, Greg said, and other people have said, maybe this year is different because you don't have Larkin. You don't have Hellebuck. You don't have Robertson. You don't have some of these. You don't have Nyes. Did any of that change? Did I miss one being away? Like, isn't the landscape kind of what it was 3 weeks ago or 2 weeks ago? Okay. Well, that's good for me as a host, working alone in the middle of July where I just have the home run derby in the AAA All-Star game. Like, I'll take interesting continuing speculation about those hockey players. I still think the Sabres want to do it, or else they wouldn't have been mentioned. And I can also believe, even though I think it's controversial, that they should want to. I can buy that they're all in a boardroom, even if it's at the stadium. Maybe it's just better at the stadium if the Bills really moved in there yet. I don't know if that's happened, but they all prefer the stadium to the arena, I guess, for these conferences and drafts. Maybe it's out there. Doesn't really matter to me. I can believe that they would want to make that move, and they're just trying to wait out the Jets. So if you want to put me down on that helimeter, as even though my headphones have held up, my screen is just, this is going to be fun this week, unless I buy some new equipment, because I'm not going to use theirs. This could be interesting as we continue on the path here with Hellebuck. If you want to put me on the record on that, I'm on the, should I? Buck, yeah, end of things. I am on that end of things because I think the Sabres want it. I'm not dying on that hill necessarily. I think they want it. And if it weren't true, it would have stopped a long time ago. The speculation would have died out. And also, as it was said this morning on their seven-piece roundtable with all the different hosts they have, who else is in play? Give me another team. Sneaky Joe mentioned, you want to know a secret? Not even Joe Cali knows this. Should I? Now I have to. When Joe, my nephew, was really young, I'm like, he's a little bit sneaky. And his mom got right in my face and she's like, that's every little boy. I'm like, okay, well, you would know. You have two boys. I don't have any kids yet. So I just sort of bought it. So I feel like there could be two Sneaky Joes on that show. But again, mom put me in my place on that one, and you know, we'll leave it at that. Sneaky Joe, the one, you know, with the TM after it. Sneaky Joe this morning was talking about San Jose and New Jersey. And he's like, show me one report that those teams are interested. They're both logical. New Jersey came up right away as an option, but I don't know. Like, I've been outside a lot, but I haven't heard anything new on that. And San Jose is logical too, because they've done these things. They've got Celebrini and they've got a lot of interesting young pieces. Maybe it's like a bigger, better Robin Leonard move like the Sabres made whenever that was with Eichel. I could see it, but I just don't have any sort of proof of it. So do the Sabres want to do it? I'm still thinking they do, or else it would be dead by now. And the fact that I think nobody's really coming forward from the Sabres standpoint is their way of playing cards. I've used chess, now I use poker. Sort of their way of playing poker in this is, yeah, well, they know our offer and we're comfortable with it. And when they run out of better ideas, if they really do feel pressure to get Hellebuck off the roster, we're here. And this is new for the Sabres. And also, of course, what's new for the Sabres is this is a giant Hellebuck in the hockey stratosphere. This is a superstar in the sport. You have to say in the sport because he's not LeBron, right? Like, most people don't know who he is. No one can spell it. Where do you put that Y? So he's not a superstar. He's not transcendent. But in hockey, he is. He's probably already going to the Hall of Fame. He would be one of the biggest stars the Sabres have ever had. And what's that worth? I think it's, you know, worth something. You have a lot of forwards. We have the Krebs deal today. As I close and open my computer for the fifth time here in the first 15 minutes because it doesn't work. You have, with the Krebs signing, another move at forward. And when do we get to a point where you have enough or even too many up top? And I think they're kind of there. I also heard Sneaky Joe say, the TM Sneaky Joe, say that who do you even scratch opening night? Bulldog did this. It wasn't that long ago. I was here. He did the exercise, like put the starting lineup together opening night. And he forgot about, I think it was Osland. And we got through the segment and came back from break and somebody texted him like, you forgot about Osland. Oh, well, good point. So somebody sits, you know, is it Krebs? Is it McLeod? Is it, it's either a really exciting young piece that the Sabres, I think, are building around. It's why they kept everybody. Or it's somebody making $4.5 million or more. I mean, embarrassment of riches, that's fine. It's not usually the Sabres' way. But what you'd rather do is make a move like you would all want to do in any sort of situation and turn one of those guys into somebody that you need somewhere else. And defensively, they lose Byram. I think they've replaced him adequately with the player from Anaheim, Zellweger. And so I don't think it's that. I mean, they're a little bit deep there, too, with that bottom third. I think it's goaltending. I just think a lot of arrows point in that direction. From simple logic within the Sabres roster, within maybe another year of reported speculation that Hellebuck wants to move out of there, even to the States in particular. And then you have, you know, it's both things. I mean, that's speculation from the insiders and also just looking at the rosters. I think maybe the key to it could be Luukkonen. When it was before the draft, this idea of moving from 4 to 8, which was a nice idea for the Sabres, and I don't blame Winnipeg for not taking it, if that's what really was on the table, because I think those picks were pretty much the same. I mean, the Sabres kind of reached, most would say, for the guy they got. They probably could have gotten him at 8, or maybe could have done that, or someone equivalent. So I don't blame Winnipeg for balking at that, if that's what happened. But now I think maybe Luukkonen is the key to it, because you just don't want Luukkonen on your books if you have Hellebuck on the team. And does Winnipeg want to do that? And if they don't, then you need, wait for it, this is the most exciting thing you've heard all day, a third team. Now let's get cooking. Let's see what this Kekalainen really has. What's he got? Now you need a third team. If Luukkonen, which I don't know that as Winnipeg I would be that into as an idea, but do you have another team that has had obviously bad goaltending and maybe he would be a fit for them? Now it gets good. Wasn't there like a six-team a trade in the NBA last week? There was. I'm getting nods. A six-team trade. How does that even happen? I'd watch a movie. I would watch a 2:15. I don't want to go longer than 2 hour and 15 minutes for anything. But let me have anything. Let me have a 2 hour, 15 minute documentary on what happened with a 6-team trade. I won't know a single person involved, but I'd give it a shot. Who's narrating? You could get this wrong. So give me a third team in a Sabres-Jets goalie swap. Hellebuck comes in. Luukkonen goes wherever, parts unknown. Winnipeg gets what they want. Shouldn't that be possible? My chair, my laptop, my headphones with the gray tape. You got to love it. You are really inside you are in the inner circle right now in here. No sneaky people, no Joes, no Bulldog, no noise. Paul Hamilton, noise. How rude was that? I didn't mean that personally toward those guys. Let me just clarify. Paul Hamilton coming up next on Krebs and the latest Hellebuck rumors and more with the Sabres. Sal Capaccio at 4. Sal was on during the NCAA. Of course he was. He's on all the time. He was on with us during the NCAA tournament, and he was in a Survivor contest. He's like, guys, what do I do? I'm in a World Cup one. I believe there are 4 teams left, and I want to take my turn and ask Sal, what do I do? You're going to love that if you're into that sort of world at all. And we'll talk some Bills, of course. Fantasy football, is it too soon? July 13th? Absolutely. Thank you. Absolutely not. Absolutely not too soon. That's never for me. Going to have Mike Dempsey later this week. I'm going to try to play that up. If there's a hockey trade, there's a hockey trade. But sure, we'll talk about the home run derby format. Another change over the course of the day. It'll be fun. Hopefully it is so far. Thanks for watching and listening. I'm Mike Shope. Bulldog is off this week. Paul Hamilton next here on WGR.
It's Paul Hamilton.
That's what they called me in college, was the bone.
He has the facts to back up his opinions.
People ask me, well, how are the Sabres going to, are they going to win tonight? I don't have a clue.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
I am not what you might consider an AI hater. I think if you look deeply at it, there's a lot to appreciate about the change it will do for the world. However, it's a threat, and it's also easy to make fun of when you see things like this from Twitter on the Connor Hellebuck wants trade to Buffalo Sabres amid Jets talks item under today's news. Buffalo GM Kevin Adams seeks goalie stability. Oh, you need people too, right? We need Paul. Paul's here for it. I mean, Paul has it. You have a tough enough time with actual people, mostly actual real people on Twitter, not to, you know, get as far afield as the AI stuff, Paul. I mean, I don't want to make things more complicated for you.
Yeah, you know me well enough. I'm probably never going to really get into AI. That's just not my thing, especially when that what you just said happens. I mean, yes, Kevin Adams reportedly is now a member of the Boston Bruins organization. But,
yes.
Yeah, so I'm just much, much more careful now. You know, what I read, is it true, is it not? Especially on Facebook, a lot of that stuff is not true. A lot of it.
I'll take your word for that.
Yeah. Because what I do is Facebook is for friends. Like I went to school with. It's fun to get in, talking to people I went to high school with and stuff. I don't have any listeners or viewers on Facebook. And then Twitter is for viewers and radio people. So that's the way I usually split it.
The line you're drawing. Very well.
Yes.
Well, we'll get to Krebs and whatever else, but it's been a couple of weeks since you and I have spoken. Mm-hmm. And I'm building on the premise again still that the Sabres kind of want Connor Hellebuck. Here we are, July 13th, and there is, whether this is from AI or not, I don't think it entirely is, more speculation about it. And I just feel, Paul, that the Sabres might be trying to wait the Jets out, that the goalie wants to be moved, and the Jets are trying to do the best they can, and it's a poker game between the two teams, if not other teams as well. How do you see it?
Well, there's no question in my mind that Jarmo Kekäläinen is not going to pay the price that needs to be paid right now to do it, if he wanted to do it today. If that stays the price, I don't feel it'll be done. And then you have other things that fall into it. Is Winnipeg on Lukanen's new no trade, which kicked in on July 1st? We don't know. You would think he would be part of the trade if you know they got Hellebuck. Norris also was in that situation. He had one kick in on July 1st also. So, yeah, I'm very confident in saying the price of Hellebuck today will not be paid by the Buffalo Sabres. And he has gone on his out of his way twice now, for whatever his reasons might be, saying that it's a pretty good chance they're going with the three goalies they went with last year. He was happy with them. You know, really, if you look at, you know, save percentage, the Buffalo Sabres, I believe they were third in the league, if I'm not mistaken, second or third. I believe it was third in the league in save percentage as a group with the three of them. That's not too bad. You know, and they went on a heater from December 9th on, basically till the end of the season, where Lukanen's save percentage went on top of the league for a lot of that time. So it's not – and you look at the two goalies, Lukanen was better than Hellebuck last year. But then you got to say to yourself, was this just a one-year thing for Hellebuck? Did he just have a bad year? You know, and it's a one-off, and he'll be back to being Hellebuck again next year. Who knows? None of us know that. None of us can predict that. But I think you're taking an awfully big chance getting a goaltender that had a bad year last year, who in the last 3 years of the playoffs is, let me see if I can remember this, 8-15, I believe, somewhere in there. I think I might be a game or two off, but right there. And goals against almost 4 and a save percentage, I believe, under 870 in the playoffs. So, and one of those years you won the President's Trophy.
Yeah.
Again, now there are examples of guys who did not perform in the playoffs and then all of a sudden did and won Stanley Cups. One just left the Florida Panthers and is now the Toronto Maple Leafs goaltender. He never had any success in the playoffs, and then he did. These are all questions none of us know. Jarmo Kekäläinen doesn't know, you know, if he can all of a sudden become a playoff goaltender, if last year was just an outlier and he'll be back to being his old self again next year, or is he slipping? But an $8.5 million bet on your salary cap, to me, is an awfully large price to pay to find out.
Well put. If you were Kekalainen, would you just bail and be like, hey, sorry, guys, this isn't going to work? Would you go that far?
I'm being honest with you. I wouldn't have been in on it to start.
So, yes.
I really don't think goaltending was the Sabres' major problem. At times, I suppose it was. But even in the playoffs, I know both Lucan and Lyon got pulled, and they both played very, very well through a lot of the playoffs, too. I will disagree with – I just disagree with it. That last goal was Lukanen's fault. It dipped on him. And the shooter said so. The puck went up on end. That made it a flutter puck, and the puck dipped. You can see it dip under his glove. I do not blame him at all for that glove.
Paul, you were a hockey player. Doesn't it make you want to ask yourself, shouldn't all shooters wait until the puck turns on end before shooting?
Isn't that better? It is better. It does work because the puck will do goofy things for you. No question about that. It definitely will do goofy things for you when that happens. Now, you can't really get it to happen. It kind of has to happen naturally for you, for the puck to stand up on end like that. But it's called a flutter puck, and it's a very difficult play for a goaltender. And you can see his glove was right where the puck was going to go, and then it wasn't as the puck dipped. So, yeah, do I blame him for the goal that's scored from the red line? Yes. And I seen Dominik Hasek get scored on from the red line. Not trying to tell you Lukanen is Dominik Hasek in any way, shape, or form, but I've seen the best there are get scored on from the red line. It happens. It's the only time I've ever seen him get scored on from the red line. It just happened, and you move on.
I think Lukanen, as I said earlier, is a really pivotal piece of this if there is a negotiation between the teams, because the Sabres can't really trade for Connor Hellebuyck without moving Lukanen. Like, they just won't need him anymore, and they need cap room if they were to do this. Would he be a player as wild and wacky as goaltending performance is in the league? We've learned that lesson. Is he somebody that if you're Winnipeg, you could sell? Like, this is the Sabres and Hasek a little bit. There are other examples mm-hmm. where you're trading your franchise piece because you just don't think you can really make it work anymore. Team results, player needs. Is Lukanen somebody that if you're Winnipeg, you could sell?
Well, Lukanen and Skinner, they're your goaltenders. They already have one. They would get the other.
And Skinner's tough. Yeah, I mean, he's a tough
there are
sell.
Times
for the fan
he's
base.
And there's times he's really good, and there are times he's really not. You know, and right now with two extra guys on the roster, I have the Sabres at a little over $4.2 million in salary cap, which means they would have to double that if they were going to make this trade.
Yep.
Lukanen would open up 4.7, so that would have 8.9. Just Lukanen taking off would open up enough room to do it if you did nothing else. So, and again, is Winnipeg on Lukanen's no trade? He doesn't have that many clubs that it's on his no trade. But and it just kicked in on July 1st. And if Kekalainen really, really wanted to do this deal and Lukanen was going to be part of it, he knows if Winnipeg is on that list or not. And he knows that as of July 1st, it will make it – you're going to have to get his permission if you want to make the trade. So, you know, it seems like from a Sabre standpoint, it's kind of dead. But I think maybe part of that reason is because the price has not come down, and in order for it to be rekindled, the price is going to have to come down.
Paul Hamilton on the Westher Hotline. Well, one other possible leverage piece in this negotiation, again, if there is one, is adding to the Sabres, really, I mean, to say, put it mildly, depth at forward, is the settlement with Peyton Krebs today. 4 years at $4.5 million. That's a pretty healthy number. Do the Sabres have, can you ever have one too many anythings? Like, are they at a point at forward where if they want to deal with Winnipeg, that would have to be where they turn? And might they think that whether it's goaltending or even defense, probably not defense, they're pretty well loaded. Is it maybe optimal if they can pull off something they like to move a forward?
They have five full lines right now. With 23 players, you're going to have the extra goalie, the extra defenseman, and probably one extra forward. So you're looking at getting rid of two. You can take the easy way out. Now, you're going to have a fan revolt if you do, but Oslin and Hellenius do not charge you waivers. They can both go down. and you until there's an injury or something like that, then Kozak's your extra forward or Danforth, and you're ready to go. That's not what I would do, but they could do that without a problem, and then they would be down to their 23 players. And what kind of injuries are you going to get at training camp? I mean, it would be shocking if in the first game these same guys are all healthy that we're talking about right now. So, you know, what kind of injuries are going to happen in training camp? Are you going to get two injuries where, you know, you got two guys on the IR, you know, to start the year? That's what you need, is two guys on the IR. Now, you know, are they still looking at a Kane acquisition to help the power play? That would be why you would do that. A guy with 2 goals and 17 assists and 19 points on the power play. And then you just ask yourself, would you rather have Quinn or would you rather have Kane in your top nine, so to speak?
Easy call.
Yeah, it is for me.
It is for me, Quinn.
Quinn did become a 20-goal scorer this past year. And it seemed like as the season went on, he was starting to find the areas to get in to let that great shot that he has to get it off and get it into the net. So, you know, he has not helped the power play. Nothing has really helped the power play. It was middle of the road for a lot of the year. I think it wound up like 18th or 19th. But when you look at it, Lindy Ruff, in his 8 years he was away from the Sabres, his power play was only good once. You know, so... It's, you know, when we're talking with the Dallas Stars and with New Jersey, I can actually tell you. He was fourth in the league with Dallas once. With New Jersey, he was 13th twice and 28th twice. The other 3 years in Dallas, he was 12th, 20th, and 23rd. This 2 years in Buffalo, he's 24th and 20th. So Lindy Ruff really has never put together since he left the first time, and those numbers I haven't looked up yet and plan on it. But he's basically run a power play as a coach in the last 10 years that runs around 19%.
That's tough when you have the players they have. I mean, even mm-hmm. Paterka 2 seasons ago, right? I mean, just you have shooters, you have playmakers. I want to think there's, like anything with hockey or anything in life, there's some randomness in it, but it'd be nice to be able to flip that next year. Paul, so a couple things just so that you're up to speed. World Cup, we're down to 4 teams.
We are.
France?
I wouldn't have guessed that.
You thought it was maybe a long left? A lot of teams still left?
That's a good way to put it. A lot. I wouldn't have been able to know how many.
I can't believe this thing isn't. You can't believe it's close to the end. It's a week
exactly.
away.
Exactly.
Sunday is it. Sunday, your long national nightmare, international nightmare is over. So France and Spain tomorrow, England and Argentina Wednesday, both afternoon games, then Sunday is the final.
Any of those upsets to be in the top four?
No, in fact, thank you for asking this. In fact, they are the top four ranked teams in the world, and that has never happened before in the World Cup, where the top four, very chalky, made the semifinals. So
this is a tournament that you could have made some money by going with the favorites, where normally you can't make any money doing that.
This is basically like 4-1 seeds in the NCAAs making the Final Four, pretty much. And also, I think you probably know this one, but I'm not sure. I can't take anything for granted with you. Tonight is Home Run Derby.
I thought that was tomorrow night. So, yeah, you can't take that for granted.
Tomorrow night is the All-Star Game. Tonight
See,
is
I was
Home Run
one
Derby.
Day off. I was thinking they were giving them a day to get there, and then tomorrow's Home Run Derby, and the next day is the All-Star Game. So
no, Philadelphia. I was in the Philadelphia area all weekend, and a lot of hype about this week. You have two Phillies in Home Run Derby, Schwarber and Harper. Mm-hmm. And you have Ben Rice, Paul. What a find for the Yankees.
And I did see a Philly is going to be the starting pitcher, too.
Wheeler? No, he just pitched. Sanchez. Got to be Sanchez, right?
Yeah, now what's his name? The young kid from the Yankees is not going to pitch because he just pitched a day or two ago.
Schlittler.
Yeah, he's going to. Oh, I love watching him pitch. Luckily, that game I went to earlier this season where I froze, he was pitching. I loved it.
Where you froze?
It was before the Ranger game in April. We flew there, and I got there. Aren't the Yankees playing? Yeah, they're playing the A's. It was 39 degrees. I froze to death, but it was well worth it, and he was pitching, and I really enjoyed it. It's almost to me like appointment TV when he pitches. I always like to watch him pitch.
I love that about you. I am the same way. What's better than a great pitcher or a great pitching matchup when you have an evening for baseball? If you're lucky enough to have all the games, find me the best pitcher on the card. Dylan Cease, I believe, will start for the American League, which is ironic yes. because Toronto is in Canada.
And I had all the people around me laughing because Leiter now pitches for the Oakland A's, and the A's were winning rather large. He comes in, it gives up like five runs before there's even an out, and I said out loud, I go, that's the best he's pitched for the Yankees ever. And he was pitching for the A's.
It's the Mike Torres line, Paul.
The fans around me just cracked up when I blurted that out. And the Yankees did wind up winning the game thanks to Leiter.
It's the Mike Torres line. When he was a Yankee in 77 and then went to the Red Sox in 78, gave up the Bucky Dent home run, they said how Torres pitched the Yankees to the World Series 2 years in a row.
I had never heard that one.
On that note, we'll keep in touch this week. Thank you.
And quickly, you'll want to know my baseball trip this year is Atlanta.
Oh, interesting. I want to hear about it. When is that soon?
End of August.
Okay, so no. We'll talk about it because I've never been to Atlanta, so I'll wait to hear all about it. Thank
Looking
you, Paul.
Looking forward to it. Yep.
Very good. Paul Hamilton's appearances on WGR brought to you by Relax Honda. Relax, we got this. Sal coming up at 4. No Bulldog this week. He is puttering around his apartment, having a great old time. I'm Mike Shope, and this is WGR.